Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Whisker Report. We're a podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry, whether you're in animal welfare or running a pet business, get more visibility, more credibility, and more buzz for what you do. Hello, everyone. I'm Mary Tan, founder and principal of Whisker Media, a pet public relations agency based in Buffalo, Minnesota. And I'm joined by my fabulous producer, Mark Winter of Pet Life Radio, who brings us to you each and every week. Hey, Mark, how are ya?
Okay, apparently, I'm fabulous. That's what you said. So,
yes, of course.
Good. And it's hot here in Florida, but apparently it's hot everywhere. So I am not in the minority.
Nope.
Yes, it is. This is the one time of year where we're all kind of the same temperature. Although in Minnesota, it doesn't get this hot normally, and hopefully it's just for a few days. But every week, we bring the innovators, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders shaping the future of the pet industry. And today, we're tackling a question many independent pet retailers are asking. Can neighborhood pet stores really compete with Amazon and the big box chains? Our wonderful next guest says not only can they compete, they have advantages the big players will never have. Michelle Huey is the founder and CEO of ShopDot, a technology platform dedicated specifically to help independent pet retailers modernize their online presence, reach more customers, and grow their businesses without losing the personal service that makes local pet stores so special. Michelle has spent years helping retailers embrace technology while staying true to what makes them unique. Michelle, Hello. Welcome to the Whisker Report.
I'm so honored to be here and talking to you, Mary. Anytime I get to chat with you, it's a special day.
Well, we work with Michelle and have done some PR work with Shop.Pet, and it's like you're one of our favorite clients.
I'm sure you say that to every client, but okay, I'll take it.
Actually, no, I don't. Okay, well, Michelle, let's start out with, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself and about Shop.Pet.
Yeah, so I have been in the retail and e-commerce business and industry for about 15 years now. I started launching a brand, a product in the health and wellness space. The company is called Vim & Vigor. It's a stylish compression sock company that I launched about 15 years ago. And I thought of the idea for ShopDot during COVID, actually, when I was noticing that all of these trusted healthcare professionals wanted to sell my product, but they didn't want to engage in traditional retail. They didn't want to buy inventory, store the inventory, or any of that. And that really was the impetus for launching ShopDot. And I decided specifically to focus on the pet industry. You know, not only my love of pets, but there is a large number of pet care professionals. And when I say pet care professionals, there's probably over 500,000 of them. And it ranges from groomers to trainers to rescues and shelters to doggy daycares, as well as your local independent retailer. They are a pet care professional as well. And so I launched ShopDot to enable these businesses to be able to more easily sell products to their end clients and end customers.
And, you know, one thing that stands out is that, you know, a lot of these folks, they get asked for product recommendations all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that is a big thing. You know, when you talk to a dog trainer, they are looked upon as the experts in their particular field. When you go to your neighborhood pet store, you're asking for advice. You're asking for specific product recommendations. And it's funny because, you know, this whole idea for trusted kind of human guidance, there's no better trusted human guidance than that in-person human guidance, right? We see it all the time with TikTok and social media and all of these other platforms where these influencers are driving purchasing decisions all the time. And there is trust there, which is amazing. There's tons of platforms that help support them and their ability to sell product. But what about all of these in-person influencers, so to speak, that have a high amount of trust, but don't have the tools or the digital tool to help them actually close that transaction. And so that's what ShopGut is really meant to do.
And, you know, this is really valuable because it's sending pet parents to help your business versus going on Amazon, Chewy, the big box stores, correct?
Exactly. So through ShopGut, pet care professionals like your indie retailer, like your groomer, like your dog trainer can build a turnkey online storefront and curate their own collection of their favorite products into their own storefronts, which is amazing. And we have a network of about 175 pet brands, over 5,000 products within our network for these pet businesses to be able to curate from. And so they're able to create their own online store and have a single checkout experience for their end customers. So they're not pushing them off all over the place to make a purchase. They're saying, here are my favorite products. Here's what I recommend. And it's in this one convenient place where you can browse and buy and add to cart and check out in one place.
Yeah. And, you know, since this podcast is about PR, there's a lot of wonderful ways you can incorporate PR into your store when you set up a ShopGut Pet account. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, because if you think about it, so much of the PR component happens a lot digitally, right? When you have an independent pet store, so much of the time you're solely reliant on the foot traffic coming into your store to make a sale. That's when you can make money. But by actually having an online store, and there's a lot of headache with running a traditional online store, right? You have to like not only deal with syncing your inventory and dealing with fulfilling the product and managing a really beautiful online storefront. So that's just a lot of work, which is why so many businesses and independent retailers don't actually do e-commerce because it's a pain in the butt. And so what we've done is we've eliminated the friction that's involved in running an online store and giving them still the tools to be able to do it. And as you're mentioning, with from a PR standpoint, they could drive traffic to their website, to their online store to still buy product, which is huge. You know, so for your customers, your clients that are not local, that cannot easily come into your store to buy what they need, they can still support the local business. And that's really what the platform's all about.
Yeah, it's like giving back. And you're really into supporting small mom and pop shops, especially you. Mm-hmm. I mean, not only the boarders and the groomers, but you do a lot of independent retail stores, right? That don't have access, that they're competing against the big box stores.
Right. Yeah. When you look at those big box stores, you know, what a lot of the mom and pop shops don't have is what the Amazon and Chewy's have are like what's called endless aisle. Right? They have tons that they can pull from their distribution center and so many products and so many brands. And so if a customer went on those platforms, they could 99% of the time kind of find what they want to purchase because of that endless aisle situation. For an independent mom and pop shop, that's impossible. They can't carry that amount of inventory. And so the beauty of ShopGut is the businesses can actually have their online store and they're actually tapping into the inventory from the brand suppliers. So the brands are the ones who are actually drop shipping the product to the end client. And so it still gives them the ability to what I call never miss a sale, right? Like, so if you have a customer coming into your store wanting something and you don't have it, what happens is they go somewhere else to buy it. And you know what happens when that happens the first time? They start thinking, well, they're probably not going to have these other things that I'm looking for. And that's how habits change. Habits are really difficult to form, right? So if you have a customer that's used to coming into your store because that's like what they do on their way somewhere else to work or whatever, but all of a sudden you're not able to meet the needs that they have and they get used to buying somewhere else, you've instantaneously, you know, through not having the ability to have the product, change their habits. And that is something that can be really troubling for a small business. You know, you lose one customer, you can lose multiple. And what we're trying to do is keep that business or keep that transaction within that local business.
Yeah. And I notice one of your strengths is you're really great at holding hands of some of the retailers, especially who are afraid of technology.
Yes.
And Why should retailers not be afraid of using, you know, the latest technology or AI? And they should really get out there and compete against the big boys.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they think that e-commerce is going to pass. You know, like I used to hear that. They're, you know, back when I launched my one company in the like 2013, 2014, where e-commerce was just starting to build, they were kind of convinced. They're like, it's not going to last. Well, it's continuing to grow. It dominates about 20%+ of all retail sales happen via e-commerce. And that's going to just continue to accelerate. Now, the idea is to not disintermediate or like kind of push aside the local physical stores. Those are still very critical establishments for the customer and for the pet parent. It's, you know, when you think about technology, think about how it can better serve the end customer. And if you're able to have access to more inventory and more products through the use of technology, and that helps the end customer, you could really have and drive loyalty with your customer base even further.
Yeah, small retailers need to jump on the bandwagon or they're going to get left behind. Don't you agree? Like, there's got to be a component of e-commerce in every business.
Yeah, you have to be, you know, in the industry, it's called omni-channel, right? Where you have your physical storefront. And gosh, there's so much opportunity for you to still utilize the physicals. People still love going into physical stores. They love discovery. They love touching and feeling, and they love asking questions from their local expert, right? And that is those pet store owners. Those are the trainers. Those are the groomers. And you really need to be able to be everywhere your clients are at. And that's what the end customer is used to now. I mean, for better or for worse, you know, this is just the way consumers want to buy. They want to shop when they're ready to shop and when they want to buy, and they live busy lives. And so all you're doing is by being omnichannel, you're enabling them to be able to buy from you when they're ready to shop.
Wow. You know, Michelle, how did you just come up with this? Like, your background is in, were you in engineering in some sort or app development?
You know what? So after, I'm an economics major, so kind of the number is not kind of scary to me. And I started my career in actually big data science. So kind of really technical, where we did do some coding, not heavy. I wouldn't call myself an engineer or developer by any means. And so I'm not afraid of technology. I was also the head of marketing for a tech company in like 2017, 2018 as well. So it's something that I feel very comfortable with and wanted to just, I've always just loved supporting local businesses. Like even for my first company, we specifically focus our retail sales in small mom and pop local independent stores. I think that came from my childhood. You know, my parents were small business owners. My mom had a hair salon in Chinatown, New York. Oh. My dad had a Carvel ice cream store. So for East Coasters, a lot of people don't know Carvel, but like, you have people who are from the East Coast or from New York or from Florida. I see Mark smiling there.
Yeah, I grew up in New Jersey, so I know it well.
No, Carvel ice cream store and Budgie the Whale and Cookie Puss. So I know you have a lot of, but yeah, so my dad had an ice cream store. And so I just kind of grew up in a family of small business owners. And I truly believe they're the backbone of the economy. They hire more people than anyone in the country, actually, are hired by small business owners, and they're a crucial part of the economy. And so if we can continue to provide a lot of technological resources, challenges that there hasn't been a lot of technological advances to support small business owners in general over the past 10 years. And there's a lot of, I can get to another podcast for why I think that is, but I think that there needs to be more.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Michelle about animal rescues and shelters and how they can do some amazing fundraising and get some PR for their adoptable animals as well.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Michelle Huey of Shop.Pet. Michelle, tell us, you know, you not only work with small pet businesses, but you work a lot with rescues and shelters. So talk a little bit about that.
So, you know, there are about, I would say, 15,000 rescues and shelters in the United States. And over the past couple of years, there's been a tremendous decline in funding, in government funding that they've received. And, you know, a big part of how they're able to sustain themselves is through fundraising initiatives and donations. And, you know, when I initially launched ShopDot, we were initially focused on small businesses, but we started to see a lot of rescues and shelters saying, can I use ShopDot as a fundraising tool for my organization? And a light bulb went off. And that's when I think I connected with you, Mary, since you have so much experience in the rescue and shelter space, and saying, how do we really flesh out our platform, and how do we reach more rescues and shelters so that they could utilize ShopDot to actually sell pet essentials and pet products to their supporters, where all the donations and all the purchases come back to them as a donation. And so that has been a huge initiative of ours, and we've been doing really well there. We're starting to sign up a lot of rescues and shelters. We attend the Animal Care Expo show, and as well as others. I know, Mary, you helped me with one last week, which was really, really busy and successful. So I think that the more we're out there, the more they know it's an option for them to help supplement their fundraising initiatives with a platform like ShopDot.
Yeah. And one thing, Michelle, that you and I did together was we worked with some rescues in DC and Philadelphia, and it was during Pet Dental Health Month. So what we did was we pitched a segment on how to brush your dog or cat's teeth, and then the rescue brought in adoptable animals. And that, for a TV station, is liquid gold. They love that, right? And yes. I found out, you know, that Fox 5 in DC and many other stations have like this Forever Home Friday, right, where they feature adoptable animals. And if you can bring in an educational component besides just showing the cute animals, I mean, that's really what they're looking for. So if you were to sign up for Shop.Pet, you could, you know, go and look at all the marketing holidays, right? There's Pet Dental Health Month. Yep. I think there's even a gut health.
Yeah, there is everything that you can imagine. There's like mobility, yeah, bone and joint month for dogs. There's, there's tons.
And so you could take, you know, you could showcase products in your store and products that are on ShopDot. And the fact that they can buy them online, I mean, that makes it even more convenient. But you could showcase products as well as your animals. And that's something that, you know, when you have an online store, most TV markets, you know, they're covering like maybe half a state, right? And so people can't get to your store, but they can order through your site, through your ShopDot. Yes. And also talk about the fact that people don't know that they're going onto a ShopDot site. Your team actually creates their website, and you don't think like you're leaving their site.
Yeah. I mean, the key ShopDot, like the end customer doesn't know what ShopDot is, right? Because we're not like a Chewy or marketplace where people are going onto ShopDot to make a purchase. What we do is we enable these rescues and shelters or these pet professionals to build their own store through ShopDot. And then that is a storefront that the clients or customers go on. And so really, they don't know that it's kind of powered by ShopDot. And what we do is we do a lot to support the pet pro. We understand that these professionals run busy lives. They're running their training service or whatever that is. And so we actually help them build out their storefront. So we help them, we can see what their branding looks like, upload their logo into the storefront. And they can also embed their storefront into their existing website as well. So it's a really seamless experience for them. So at the end of the day, they still need to market. They still need to, you know, tell people about their store, but we'll do a lot of the heavy lifting to get them going.
Yeah. And again, so you don't need to be afraid of technology because they have you.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And your wonderful team.
Yes. Yeah. My team is excellent and they're here to really support the businesses. And yeah, so it's not. And once you are on, you know, we've heard Pet Pro say, I don't know anything about technology. I still have a flip phone, but your platform is pretty easy to use. So if we have people still using flip phones saying that our platform is easy to use, that's a win.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to ask you, like, it seems like, and this is completely non-scientific, but it seems like a lot of the pet store owners tend to be older. Am I right? Like, you know, and so
without a doubt. Yeah, I would say overwhelmingly so. But we're starting to see changes, actually. We're starting to see a shift. And you're seeing this across a lot of local, in you know, businesses and storefronts. You started to see this because I have spent a lot of time in the gift shop industry. So gift stores, independent gift apparel stores, independent apparel stores, as well as outdoor. And it's interesting because you can actually see what's happened in the gift store industry and outdoor industry as kind of a precursor for what's going to happen in the pet industry. I find that since I do have so much experience in various different retail experiences in stores, the pet industry is a little bit late, is what I'm seeing to, number one, adopt technology the way that a gift shop would or other platforms or other stores do, as well as from a succession planning standpoint, you know, some of the older store owners, you're being bought by younger people who really want to kind of take over the store and modernize it in a different way. And so we're now starting to really see that, but we have been seeing that significantly in the gift and apparel industry over the past 15 to 20 years.
I have a question.
It's a boomer. It's a boomer generation, right? So it's right. Like the boomer generation retiring, and you started to see that a lot over the past 10 or 15 years. And then just kind of the younger, I would say, millennials kind of taking over that business.
What other trends have you noticed between pet and other fields?
I would say the first is like the omnichannel is a big component, is the omnichannel experience. I think where it's a little bit different is when you deal with apparel and you deal with gifts, it's very specific. You know, a lot of gift shops tend to have a certain kind of look and feel for a certain customer demographic that may not appeal to others. And so they're kind of curating from a huge, 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 massive option pool of clothing and gifts that kind of cater towards a particular look and feel demographic, right? The shabby chic or the minimalist look or '90s look. Like you have all of these types of retail stores, but they're very kind of specific in who they bring in. And so that's something that's interesting and different. Whereas the outdoor, I think there's actually more similarities between the outdoor industry and the pet industry. And the reason for that is the products tend to be a little bit more ubiquitous. Like kind of if you go to an outdoor store, you're going to see kind of similar products from the independent outdoor retailers across the country, same as what you're seeing in the pet industry as well, right? And I think the opportunity that I've seen with the outdoor industry and those businesses doing better is when they actually bring in different types of products that you can't get at a big box Petco or Chewy, and actually treating their store as an experience, right? So you're starting to see that now, but that's been going on with independent outdoor industry in general. They'll provide kind of, you know, different type of training, you know, rafting training or running or ski conditioning classes that they have in their outdoor store. I mean, these are just things like that, these type of additional services that they're bringing into their outdoor retail store. They've been doing that for a bit to really differentiate themselves. And now you're starting to see independent retailers in the pet industry starting to bring in grooming, if they have a bigger facility, doggy daycare, right, and kind of different things to bring in that holistic approach towards serving the end client. And so again, that's been happening in the outdoor industry and just starting to happen in the pet industry.
Wow, that's amazing. I have heard, you know, the pet industry tends to be behind other industries. But what's amazing, it's like the pet industry is just growing every year, right?
Crazy.
And it's growing at a faster level than other industries.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, it's a $158 billion industry and growing faster. You know, I recently went to a workshop that was put on by TikTok, and they were saying that the pet division of TikTok is one of the fastest growing from like a sales standpoint, because they have TikTok shops, so they sell physical products. TikTok started a lot in the beauty industry when a lot of people buy beauty products on TikTok and apparel, but really the pet is one of the fastest growing ones as well.
Amazing. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get a few more details about shop.pet, how you can sign up. And we're going to get Michelle's final thoughts.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back. Michelle, one thing I wanted to point out, especially for rescues and shelters, there's no cost to sign up for this.
There's no cost to sign up for any pet professional to build an online store. So there isn't a setup fee. There isn't a monthly cost. The only fee that they pay is 15% of their commission payout. But that's obviously only after they sell product. So there's really no upfront investment to creating a shop.store. So it's really easy and will help any pet pro through the process.
Wow. What would be your advice to a pet professional to get ahead? I mean, in general, you've been part of many different industries. What's your one piece of advice for a pet professional to get ahead and, you know, be able to compete against those Amazons and Chewies? I mean, what do you think is the most important thing?
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I have a couple. I mean, I don't know if I have one. There's so many things. That's okay. A big question. Okay. So off the top of my head, I think that, you know, sometimes with pet professionals, a lot of times they get into the industry because they just love animals. And so much. Some of the people I meet don't love humans as much as they love animals. I would say overwhelmingly. But, you know, at the end of the day, those pet parents are the ones serving those animals. And think about sales. And a lot of these people don't love the idea of selling, right? Like they just want to be a resource and spend time with animals. Sales is a service. I think that's a big thing that people need to understand and pet pros need to reconceptualize is think about sales and selling as a service that you're providing rather than like, oh, I feel salesy and gross about offering something. No, they're asking you for that. They are looking at you as a pet professional for advice. And, you know, some of these people are first time pet owners. Like they want to know what has worked. And so don't hesitate to provide that guidance and think about it as an additional service that you're providing. So that's number one. I think sometimes one thing I see with small business owners is you can be passionate, but don't be precious. So sometimes people who are passionate can be overly precious about every decision that they make, how they go about doing things. And you can still be passionate about what you do without kind of being overly precious and kind of poo-pooing things that could be really helpful for you as a business owner and also your client.
Yeah, that is fantastic advice. And, you know, it's like some people just overthink it. Just do it.
That's what I'm saying. Just do it. Just do it. Don't overthink it. There's not much to think about.
Yeah.
The moment's going to pass you by.
One thing also I wanted to mention is that you and I are both part of the PIN, which is the Pet Industry Network.
Yes.
And you and I will both be going out to the Super Zoo Trade Show, and you're speaking.
I am speaking. I'm speaking a few times there, and I'm speaking for Super Zoo. And so definitely come to my session. I think we can maybe put something in the podcast details about what that is if you want to kind of learn more. I have a lot more to share about retail and e-commerce, and we'll talk a little bit about ShopDot, but it's something that I'm really passionate about.
Yeah. And so finally, where can people get a hold of you and sign up to be part of the Shop.Pet family?
So go to shop.pet.com. So shopdotpet.com. And that's where you can create your free account. You can learn more about how Shop.Pet works. There's some FAQs that you can go through. If there's any pet brands listening to this podcast, you know, definitely reach out, go to the site too, and we'll direct and reach out to us and we can do a demo with you to get onto the platform.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Michelle. You are just a wealth of information, and you're also this techie brainiac that I'm always very like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she created this. This is amazing. So finally, the last thing I wanted to add from a PR standpoint is that, remember, the biggest advantage independent pet retailers have isn't necessarily price. It's relationships. If you're a local pet business, don't try to out Amazon. Instead, showcase your expertise, tell customer success stories, highlight your staff, and use social media and digital tools like Shop.Pet to build community. Those are things algorithms can't replace, and they're exactly what journalists and customers are looking for. Thanks for listening to The Whisker Report. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with your favorite pet retailer or pet rescue. If you got a suggestion or a PR question, visit whiskermedia.com and let us know. For Mark Winter and Michelle Huey, I'm Mary Tan. And remember, bark loud and purr smart.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.